This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, 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 here we are again, folks. Fine episode upcoming here of Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast. The Blockbuster Mentality fellas return for the third time. This time, they're going after the beloved fantasy film from the 80s, Willow. Oh, it just so happens it's on Disney Plus right now, the reboot. Who asked for that? Joining me as guest host, my old pal, chump, consigliere, Ron Barba. Can the Blockbuster Mentality boys convince us that Willow can indeed stand the test of time? Well, we're about to find out.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah, it's trending right now.
Yeah, that does.
That doesn't matter, cause we're gutting the sacred.
Open the doors, Hal. Ron Barba, guest host. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me back on the show. We're going to have a great one. I'm excited to take apart this film or support it. We'll find out.
We'll find out. Ron, you remember him from his first appearance, of course, as taking down the Big Lebowski. That was a great one. Ron.
That was easy.
It was easy. Name that. Ron, open the doors, Hal. What movie is that from?
No idea.
Welp, we're going to go right to Ben and Dave of the Blockbuster Mentality podcast. A great friends of ours that are supporting us for a while. Been on their podcast, going theirs. Ben and Dave, how you going on, fellas? What's new and exciting?
Yes. Well, first of all, I got to know what. Say that quote again. I want to try to guess it.
Yeah, we'll take a crack at this mystery.
Open the doors, Hal.
Oh, 2001.
That's a spirit.
Or is it the Barbie movie?
Oh.
Well, we don't know yet, but we're great. We're great. Thanks so much for having us back. Excited to take apart another film instead of celebrating one.
You know them from the Blockbuster Mentality podcast, where they do celebrate films. But yes, they are here to take down the 1986 classic Willow. And that perfect timing, because now the Disney Plus series has just dropped as you hear this. A budget in 1986 of $35 million, a box office gross of $137.6 million. Turn that into 2022 money, $83.5 million budget, a box office gross $328.4 million. 4x ROI. Not bad. Dave's like, it's like, you know, kind of like the take a penny, leave a penny, fine. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
IMDb, as we know, boys, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. I'm going to go to Ben. What do you think Willow scored on the old IMDb?
And then I purposely didn't check this because I knew you were going to ask.
There you go.
Again, I think it's more beloved than I enjoy it, but I'm going to go, is it like 7.3?
Let's go over to Dave.
Yeah, I did the same. We know the drill. Try to hide your eyes. I'll give it an even 7.
Ron Barba.
I'll go for 7.4. Price is right.
Oh, baby. Well,
one
of you is going to win both showcases.
Wow.
A brand new Toyota Yaris and a Carnival Caribbean cruise to Puerto Rico. We're going to give that cruise to Ben Secord. 7.2. 2.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay, man.
That's high.
Ron outprices right himself. God, wrong way.
Yeah. I'm never wrong.
After I said that, I thought maybe it would be high sixes, but yeah, that wow. So I can't wait to see what I win.
Rotten Tomatoes, fellas. You all know the drill yet again. 1 through 100. I'm going to go to Dave first. Dave, what did the critics give it on Rotten Tomatoes? 1 through 100.
Oh, Christ. What the hell were critics thinking in the late 1980s? You know, I'll say 65.
Let's go to Ron Barba to the right of him in my viewfinder.
I'm going to say 85.
Wow, that's ballsy. Ben Secord.
I want to go somewhere in the middle, but I'm actually going to go lower. I'll go 59.
Ben is 2 for 2, 53.
Wow. He's cheating.
Wow. I swear. Like, I consciously did not look, and now I feel like I am cheating. And it's terrible.
Let's see if he goes for the hat trick. Ron Barber, what do you think the audience gave Willow? 1 through 100.
I said 85, but I was way off, so let's take it down to 70.
70. Ben.
Okay, so IMDb, I feel like, is close with this usually because it's audience. I'm gonna go 71.
Dave,
75 for me.
Dave's gonna pull this out of his ass. 79.
Wow.
Okay, I officially did not cheat. There we go. But I won.
People are stupid to like it more than the critics, so I figured that would be it.
Quotes? I don't have any. This film is not quotable one bit. How about
I hate trolls.
For me, it's Mad Bot again. Those are my quotes.
Someone get that drop.
Willow. That was stuff I somehow remembered that from way long. I don't even remember watching the movie, but I remember the Willow from the goat.
The old lady who was awful throughout.
Yes. Can we put a moratorium on people who are trapped in the bodies of animals who do magical things?
I'm down.
I didn't get much resistance on you guys from that one, but yeah, that I noticed that. 5 fun facts. How old? I almost fell out of my goddamn chair when I saw this, boys. How old do you think Warwick Davis was when he shot this film?
This I do know, so I'll let them guess first. Yes. So
yeah, 28. Ron, how old do you think Warwick Davis
41.
Was?
41.
17. he looks 35.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he was born in. He's 52 right now, I think. Yeah, he was born in 1970, and yeah, this was filmed. Yeah, when he was 17. So yeah.
He could have been one of the kids in Greece, for Christ's sake. Holy Christ.
That would have been an interesting.
You know, I just saw in Brooklyn, there was the LGBT film festival, and this midget was in one of the movies. And I was like, I haven't seen midgets in movies ever. And
tell me he was a gay one.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was LGBT. It was the whole premise. But I'm telling you,
the L for little person.
He was an amazing actor. He was a fantastic actor.
Well, they could have used him in this production.
Number 2. Here's another one. The large group of pigs outside of the castle continuously tried mating, so buckets of cold water were used to separate them. Various major studios turned down the chance to distribute and co-finance it with Lucasfilm because they believed the fantasy genre was unsuccessful. This largely due to films like Dragon Slayer, never saw it, Krull, terrible, Legend, I think I saw that, and Labyrinth, equally terrible.
Saw those.
Yeah, was any of those on your show?
No, they're not allowed. Don't be silly.
Yeah, it's tough with the genre if you're not dealing with really good source material. And clearly we saw, well, you know, a lot of the effects work and stuff like that. It hadn't caught up. So I can see why studios were hesitant. Although I guess you said this one made a decent profit, I guess, for what it is.
Sure did. Want to take a guess who took who tested for the role of Mad Mardigan but lost to Val Kilmer? He considered this his biggest disappointment. I, of course, give a hint. Didn't really catch on till at least the late 80s for sure. 90s, a powerhouse decade for him. 2000s a little bit and has not really been heard from much since.
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage is not it. but a good guess, but a wrong one.
Ben, so he was more prominent in the 90s, you said?
Much more.
Okay. Dave, you go. I'm going to keep thinking.
One more. Robert Downey Jr.
No.
Yeah, that's where I was going, actually. I'll say Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
He
would look older than Warwick Davis did.
Seriously. I honestly, I'm drawing a blank. I can't think of anyone.
John Cusack.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for him, I could see why it would be, he would regret it.
I don't think he would have worked at all.
I don't think it would have worked, but I'm just saying I could see why he would regret it it was successful, quote unquote. You know?
Why I'm going to be in a bad movie? I mean, I'm just whatever.
Beloved movie, Dave. Don't you know that?
That didn't stop him from making a cadre of other piss poor films.
Yeah,
that is accurate.
Ron Howard passed on, I'm not going to let you make a guess, directing Cocoon the Return to make this film.
I would assume that would be the right choice. I've never seen that one, so that was probably a good choice, Ron.
I have not either. And those are five fun facts. So let's kick it right over to the folks who have questions burning through here, and they want everybody to ask just simple questions, and that, of course, being Ask a Gutter. Let's kick it off with at Newark Knight, Brandon Oglesby, for the Blockbuster cast. Is Willow a good representation for little people, or is it just another fantasy film that pokes fun at them? Where does the Willow sequel show rank next to Rings of Power and House of the Dragon? So that's a two-parter. First half, is this representation for little people, or is it just another fantasy film that pokes fun at them?
I'll go first. It's a very good film for representation of little people. It's not poking fun at them intentionally. It just gets portrayed in a not very good way. So it did good job to cast them in these roles, taking great care to do so, but it doesn't come across very well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Representation wise, yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, it was a success box office wise, and it has a show now, 30 some years later. It's not any Tiptoes with Matthew McConaughey, where Gary Oldman plays a little person that, you know, so they actually hired actual little people. So yeah, I'd say it's good for that.
Fair enough. Next question. I lost my spot.
Oh, did we want to hit? Wasn't there a two?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, it was. You're right. Thank you. Where does the Willow show rank next to Rings of Power and House of the Dragon?
I've only seen House of the Dragon, so it ranks at the bottom.
I've seen House of the Dragon and Rings of Power, and I saw one episode of this Willow series. It is absolute dog shit from what I saw.
I'm surprised to hear you say that, Dave.
Well, see,
shocking.
You know, as bad as this movie is, we're going to get into is really the missing piece is that the show fills in is that we needed a teenage lesbian relationship. That's what was missing from this film. We needed really a young adult flair doing modern dialogue in a high fantasy setting. No, we did not need any of that. It is absolute dog shit on Disney Plus. I don't know who would watch this thing. So it's at the very bottom. Next up would be Rings of Power. I'm a huge Tolkien fan, huge Lord of the Rings fan, and it just failed. So House of the Dragon is number one.
Funny you say that. We're having somebody come on in 2 weeks to Return of the King on this very podcast.
Oh, ooh. Fuck that guy.
Girl, actually.
Oh
yeah, fuck that girl. Dave.
That's some shit. Next, at Race to Canis. I'm curious if Willow holds up. I would lean yes, but can't wait to hear. Question. Favorite performance by a little person in a movie?
I mean, first of all, that's honestly a great choice, David Vern Troyer. It was a knee jerk, but again, representation for little people. There's not much out there, so that's why this is a great film for that.
Actually, I have a better one. I don't know the guy, the actor's name, but he's in this. He's in Willow, and he's the one in Bad Santa. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Also, Me, Myself, and Irene.
Not movie wise. Mickey from Seinfeld. I think had a great part in that.
I want to say Peter Dinklage, but I don't know what really good standout movie roles he's done.
Days of Future Past, gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess that's okay. That's another movie I find overrated. So
I love it. Also done in this very podcast. I have two answers. The first one, of course, best little people role would be the cast of The Jersey Shore. How can we forget Hervé Villechaize, the man with the golden gun?
Actually, also Peter Dinklage in Elf, I think, is great. That's true, as a high executive or author or whatever he is, I think he kills that part. So
I'm assuming nobody saw Cyrano.
No, it was in and out like a fart in the wind, I think, from the theater.
Yep.
At Lord Snurts, the baby Elor Danon grows up and is in college. She forms a band with Harry Potter, Cole Young from Mortal Kombat, man, and a young Homer Simpson stonecutter in parentheses called Birthmarks of Destiny. What is the name of their hit song? That is a very involved meta question, and Lord Snurts kills it with these questions every
time. It's called A Little Heartbreak.
Nice. Zing. My MacGuffin.
Is that like a My Sharona parody?
Yes.
Ron Barber is sifting on a sifter of cognac and a cigar. Any feedback on that hit song? What do you think it would be called?
Nothing. I got nothing.
Just let me smoke my cigar in peace.
You guys are doing great. I'm enjoying the show.
Holiday with the Mumpsters. That would be
do you pay him by the hour? Or he obviously doesn't get paid by the word.
By the word.
Listen, he's an adult.
Show brought to you by Coppola Wine.
They don't get paid for it.
Use them out for your Christmas gift.
They didn't pay me. You take that off camera right now, sir. Oh, actually, guys, we're paying him in college credits. He's going back to get his master's in theology. Okay. Nice. At Luke of the Bind. New one. Thank you very much. Willow is a masterpiece. Warwick and Val have great chemistry. It has fun comedic moments, dark, creepy bad guys, great action sequences, and some decent special effects for the time. One of my childhood favorites. You'll only be able to peck a couple things from it. Waka.
I have a full Google Doc here that says otherwise.
Oh boy, that is going to do it for Ask a Gutter. And I said before, no one listens to the end of podcasts. So fellas, tell us what you're up to. Where can we find you?
That's a great point to do it at the beginning. First of all, our main thing is our Twitter at BlockbusterCast. That's where we find all news of our new shows and our new guests and everything. We have guest-driven show lately where we have celebrities on and come talk about their favorite films. Got Joe Gatto from Impractical Jokers coming up in January, so looking forward to that. You can also follow us on Instagram at Blockbuster Mentality. Dave, where's your your Twitter?
You can find me at Dave_Quist. By the way, recent celebrities we had Dane Cook, Brandon Kyle, John Ross Bowie, Henry Thomas, and
E.T. Henry Thomas.
Yeah.
E.T. Henry Thomas. That's right.
Did you ask him about his DWI and said E.T. needs to go home and take a cab?
I'll be sure to ask him that.
Yeah, we'll follow up on that.
But we also do new movie reviews as well. We are part of the Critics Association of Central Florida, the awards for that are coming out in a couple weeks here. I'm not sure when this releases, but look out for that. So
yeah, we're really important critics.
Yeah, you know, so important.
I'm an actor. For the people who don't know, I'm an actor and producer, and I have a movie on Amazon, and it's called Bobby Mortal. It's on Amazon. You can rent it for, I guess, $2. It's a very good movie about a comedian on the downslope of his career and his life.
Autobiographical.
I produced it. I also star in it. It's very good. I think you should see it. Bobby Mortal on Amazon. And if you're in New York City tomorrow night.
You're not. This is not going to air tomorrow night. So you don't. You shan't bother.
I'll be at the temple. I'm performing at the Actors Temple. So I'm a sugar. So So watch Bobby Mortal on Amazon.
Are you stand up, Ron?
I am a stand up too.
Awesome.
Yeah, Ron was also in my show, Comics Watching Comics, which will be coming back in the metaverse in the next few months.
Yes.
Get ready for that.
And by the way, I just did a new reel for a manager, and I took one of the clips from that exact show, buddy, because it was so well shot and great. Great one for me.
Fantastic. I didn't license that out, so I'll expect a check.
We'll talk after the show about your cut.
You can check out guttingthesacredcow.com for shirts like these. What? Look at that. All that merch, hats, bags, you know it. You know, just a little something helps. That's all we got to say here. And, of course, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com to advertise with us or just to say hello. Speaking of advertise, let's get a little business out of the way because today's episode is sponsored by Pacific Sensei. What is Pacific Sensei, guys? It is a boutique farm in Oregon that grows top-shelf quality hemp flower. Hey, it looks like THC, smells like THC, and smokes like weed. But guess what? It's low in THC, so it doesn't get you high. It's loaded with CBD so you can enjoy the benefits of cannabis without feeling burned out, paranoid, or anxious. You can relax, you know, with some of this after work or during work, as long as you're not a surgeon or a forklift driver. A day at the beach or on the go, Pacific Sensei flower is non-intoxicating, so it's perfect anytime. So you can smoke this on the subway and not have anyone get a contact high around you. Sign me up. Lab tested, federally legal, discreet shipping right to your door. Whenever they say discreet shipping, I always think of someone's getting sex toys in the mail, right?
Yeah, that's true. Or you can send a bag of dicks, I know, to people. And that's awesome.
Pacific Sensei flowers, greenhouse grown, seedless, and always fresh. Go to PacificSensei.com. That's Pacific, PacificSensei.com. That's PacificSensei.com to order now. Use promo code GTSC, as in gutting the sacred cow. PacificSensei.com, promo code gutting the sacred cow. Back to the action.
What had you giggling so much, Dave? I gotta know.
Kevin, you probably don't remember this, but last time we were on, you were doing Athletic Greens, and I started interrupting you. So I tried to just leave it alone, and I'm thinking, why the fuck does anyone not want to get high? I just shut my mouth and had to leave.
Yeah, well, that's a fair question to ask, but for those who just want to enjoy the benefits, so be it. Ron Barber, I need you to wake up and help me do what we're going to do right here with our guests, and that is invite them to Gut the Sacred Cow. The first two beats were absent, but then he jumped in with 3 and 4, so we're live. Look at you.
Now he's just making animal noises.
I want to be Ron right now.
I know. he's just like, whatever, you know, what's the big deal? What's in that stogie, you know?
Is it Pacific Sensei? Maybe it is.
I would love some Pacific Sensei in my...
I've got some. They said a stash of my
on the train.
Where are you located, Ron? I just realized you're a view.
That's 46th Street, right behind me in Midtown Manhattan.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice, okay.
Right in the middle of the city. Right in the middle of the city.
Gentlemen, start your engines and or boners, and let's hear why Willow stinks.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Dave, you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. I think we're getting ourselves into a nice little pocket here when we come on the show by destroying these nostalgia traps, right? It's so easy now when you go back and watch these movies. What you find is that this is... You watch it when you're a kid and you just assume it's always great. And then when you go back, it's really kind of shitty. And this movie in particular, it is not for adults at all. And it's not, it is literally, this movie is for kids in the 80s. That's it. You watch this movie in the 90s, it sucks. You watch it in the 2000s, and certainly a kid watching it today is going to think it's terrible. So that was it. It was good for what it was. Maybe good for renting at whatever your local video store was, and you're watching it and you have a good time with it. But it's pretty bad. And this is not like, it's just because it's old. This is no Lion King. You can watch the Lion King from, you know, the original, of course, not the Favreau remake, which stumbled quite a bit. But you go watch the original animated Lion King. You can show that movie to anyone of any age at any time, and it's fantastic. This is not a movie like that. And honestly, the biggest accomplishment I think this movie has was blowing a big portion of its budget by advancing digital morphing technology, which we ended up seeing in movies like Terminator 2, stuff like that. And what's so funny about whatever it did for special effects, it didn't even further the story. That was just like for one scene. And we mentioned the Mad Mod again earlier. there's literally nothing memorable that we can even come away with in this movie. You just have this like vague feeling that you liked it and you don't know why. And you go back and you watch it and like, George Lucas kind of had an idea, and that was when George Lucas could kind of do whatever he wanted. Yeah. And he picks a Ron Howard who is kind of like 50-50. He's made like probably 30 movies, half of them suck and half of them are pretty good. So that's my start, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I wanted to kind of piggyback off of George Lucas, because I mean you got a story that's unoriginal to George Lucas. I mean, you got Chosen One is very at the very beginning. There's a Chosen One. There's magic that some people can tap into and some people can't, a la the Force. So
Star Wars in medieval setting, right?
Exactly. And I know you had a point as well as how it's like Lord of the Rings, but I'll let you say that. What'd you say, how it's like Lord of the Rings?
Oh, it's just like he tried to make the Hobbit. I mean, we talked representation, but you know, these are hobbits, right?
Well, but you said it's like Lord of the Rings, but instead of a ring, it's a baby.
You know, you got to bring the baby. Yeah. And the real problem is you can't kill the fucking baby in the movie. There's no way they're going to kill this thing. And so, but and what it ends up, it is like we said, my MacGuffin, like my Sharona. You can't, the ring, at least in Lord of the Rings, did something. It was an inanimate object, but it would corrupt people. The baby does fucking nothing other than, okay, something happened in the action. Let's cut to a reaction shot to the baby. Oh, it's laughing. Oh, it's crying. Oh, it's making a curious face. Let's check in on the baby every 5 minutes. It's totally dumb. It's pointless. The baby does jack shit.
Yeah. Well, and Warwick Davis, we alluded to it earlier about his age. I just saw a pimply faced teenager. Like, I didn't buy him as a dad of two, you know. It just was like, how is this pimply faced kid a dad of two? He's supposed to be, you know, part of the community. He's a farmer and everything. And you know, so I didn't buy that. And then, you know, story wise also, just the obvious, blatant obvious foreshadowing I found to be just like, yeah, okay, yeah, we know that's coming up later. Like, they brought up magic like 8 times before, you know, they actually showed anything. It's like, okay, yeah, I know he's gonna know how to do magic by the end.
It's like, Willow, you suck at this. Willow, yeah, you suck at this. But I really want to be good at magic. Willow, you suck at this. And they do the same thing with the wand. Okay, we're gonna try Willow sucks with the wand part 10. Right, until he finally gets it.
And they even, you know, have him be, you know, an illusionist at their fair or whatever they're having. So it's just like, okay, we get it. And then even with the queen, you know, her telling her henchman or whatever, the skull guy, I think, like, oh no, I trust my daughter. She would never do anything to harm me.
I love Skull Guy too.
Yeah, like, you love him?
Well, because he's not a character. It's just a mask. It's just, we made Scary Mask and make man yell. That's it. That he has, there's nothing to him at all. It's just scare the kids. That's all it is.
Exactly.
He was like a Skeletor knockoff that was nowhere near as cool as Skeletor was.
And that's thank you for helping, because that's everything about this movie feels like a knockoff. It feels like a little bit of lots of things I've seen. There's like, we mentioned Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, I don't know, different like Disney animated fairy tales, those kinds of stories. And when you look back at what has come after this film, I'm not even a Harry Potter fan, but this just takes a dump. Harry Potter takes a dump on this. And certainly getting an actual Lord of the Rings story told by someone who could actually tell a good story. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, you're going to have a kid. You're going to have him watch this film. No, why would you? What is there to go back to? It's done poorly. So go just watch Harry Potter instead if you want fantasy.
Yeah. Well, I remember watching this as a kid and that's it. That was it. I watched it and that was it. I was bored to tears. Wasn't memorable at all. I totally had to. I mean, you know, that's our homework for the show. We got to rewatch. But I absolutely had to rewatch this one because I don't remember I did not have pubic hair the last time I watched it, most likely.
Oh, you shaved? Sure. You shaved back in the day?
Yeah, I shaved. Yeah, yeah, I shaved when I was 16, so I definitely didn't have it then.
Front and back?
Sometimes, you know.
Are you a waxer? You just want to have
never did the wax. No, I take that back. No, actually never did the wax. So yeah.
Great for me is my wife likes the full untrimmed bush. So it's just like less work for me.
Oh. So you got a Jebediah growing down there? That's what you're trying to tell us, Dave.
Oh.
Go down in the thicket, you know.
You can't even just do it for you?
He's the Shire growing down there.
Oh, this went down an interesting path.
The bushes
did Willow. He went into the bushes. See, it's all tied in. He went into bushes. And Dave, what do you think of the brownies in this film?
Well, we did have...
We'll respect him a little just because we did have Rick Overton on the show. Yeah. And he was the larger guy. Yeah, he's the taller one because the other one was Kevin Pollak from many other movies.
I completely forgot that was Kevin Pollak. Oh my God. I saw him in the credits and go, oh, cool, Kevin Pollak. You know, and then I just completely forgot and then I should probably remember who Kevin Pollak was in this. And then you guys just said, they go, Jesus, that's how, never mind. Go ahead.
Well, it's just another gimmick in a movie full of gimmicks. They're not really all that funny. Like, I remember like little things from like when he goes, beer. I found that charming when I was 7 or 6, whenever the hell I watched this movie. I don't think it was in 88 when, I don't know, but. They watch it now, and it's just like, they're just annoying, aren't they? Like, I'm not getting any kind of. They don't look terrible, but
the voices don't do it.
I think that's 90% of it.
Yeah,
and I think it really, it's a lot of the problem with this film is that I think it's supposed to be funnier than it is. I think we're supposed to be laughing along with it, you know, with quips and jokes, and none of it really lands.
Yeah. Definitely not. So I mean, you got like you alluded to with the graphics, like it's a video game, the special effects, with you know, the two-headed monster, like it looked like, you know, a clay CGI from like, you know, those old like epics, or you know, I'm trying to think exactly what, but anyway, it just like you had Star Wars,
like Jason and the Argonauts or something like
that. Yeah, exactly. Like it seemed like that. Like you had, you know, Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, the original trilogy before this film had better special effects than this one.
Oh, this is the worst monster I've seen in any movie ever. It was totally, well, first of all, they call them trolls, but it's really just like a monkey man or something.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what is this creature?
Was like one of those B-roll, like one of those B, like horror B-film horror films, like, you know, just a leftover like latex black hair. It's like, let's just make an amalgamation of all the leftover stuff so we don't waste funds, glue it together, and then just paste it on a dog who's missing his back left leg.
And then when Willow kills him with the wand, he turns into Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Like,
it's like, what the hell is this thing? Like, what?
Well, it's so funny. They spend all the money on advancing the CGI technology, which is pretty cool, the morphing stuff. And then they just do this creature. Like, for what? And it's just standing there out of the moat, just... it's like 10 minutes of this thing, just this two-headed creature doing nothing. And a lot of the action in this film, it's not really doing anything. This, whatever this big battle is, the people are just kind of running around, they're throwing stuff at each other, and it's what, 2-on-50,
right? Yeah,
somehow they're winning. And then Willow's just up there. It's like, this is a 2-hour 9-minute movie. There's like maybe an hour of story in this film.
100%. Yeah, I remember thinking that like at like the fifth action scene, I was like, all right, this is, we're just going, we haven't gone anywhere, and this is the fifth fight. Like, what is happening?
I also just, I love in the beginning because it's the baby when the midwife takes the baby and just like throws it on a pile of grass and sends it down.
Right. It's like, what is just like Danny DeVito, just like Danny DeVito in Batman, Batman Returns, right down in the sewer it goes.
Right. Exactly. Well, it's like, just like, oh, this isn't obvious. This isn't an obvious Moses metaphor.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, another.
If we put it in a basket, it'd be just a little too on the nose, George.
Yeah. Let's make people think about this. You know.
I love how when it's just tossed on this grass. When you see the next, it's like, okay, this doesn't look like it's gonna hold. Then the next scene, it's like this big, like, puffy mattress of grass, and it's just like a little thing. It's just like, you know, we've gotten better at making movies, and at that point they didn't really think this thing through. I don't know why. Yeah, it's only gotten thrown down the river to be the Moses thing to trigger your brain. Yeah, but there's really no basket, so it's too obvious. So it's like, what, why are we doing this at all?
Right. Yeah. And then we haven't mentioned Val Kilmer yet, because I think he's the strongest part of this film.
Yeah, by far.
Because I would find it completely unwatchable without him. But
This would not even be.
Yeah,
could not get through this movie at all.
This is after Top Gun, right? Yeah. Because correction, by the way, Kevin, you said 86 earlier. This is 88.
Yeah. Oh, typo on my part. Yes.
It's, no, it's okay. Hey, nobody's perfect. You know, no big deal.
Push up our glasses.
Hey. Yeah, maybe wear glasses. But anyway, Val Kilmer. But I mean, they do make him do silly things. I mean, the whole love potion thing. What was that?
We need a romance, so we'll have him. We'll douse him with a love potion,
and we'll drug him to fall in love with the other female lead.
I didn't know medieval times had roofies in it. That's pretty cool.
Because it seemed to work, right? He gets hit with a love potion. He tells her, "You're my moon, my stars, and my sun," or whatever. And her reaction, this mortal enemy, is, "Oh, that's amazing." And she, when he snaps out of it, she's like disappointed. Right.
Like, wow. She just wanted to be loved, something that Skeletor knockoff couldn't give her.
That's look, if that's all you, if that's all you had to say, there'd be a lot less incels in this world and a lot more banging. That's all it took.
Well, then they have him dress up as a female. With
yeah, this was a real highlight for me. What we want to see from our feared knight and warrior is to have him dress up like a woman with giant tits, sneaking into another woman's lair, and then gets the husband barges in and then is thinking of raping him and grabbing his fake boobs because she's the cousin of the wife. That was
great. All sounds like the first 20 minutes of Mrs. Doubtfire to me. or the first season of Bosom Buddies with Tom Hanks.
I really liked the grope on the tit. That really. Yeah. Thank you, Ron Howard, for that.
He's like, actually, could you grab her boob a little there, or his boob?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if that's a Ron, if that's a dead on Ron Howard impression, or it's a way off Ron Howard impression.
whichever one works, that go with that one. You know?
Was it 40-year-old virgin, or it feels like a bag of sand? I mean, that's what we're at here with this.
Yeah. Oh man!
And not only that, we need to have an escape scene for 10 minutes on a cart where he's still in his drag.
Yeah,
that was great.
Got to have that.
This
one of the many long action scenes. Exactly.
I wonder if they're gonna get away.
And then you have the lady that's stuck in an animal, the wizard lady.
Worst voice ever.
It's similar to him with the wand a zillion times. It's like, oh, she's a squirrel or whatever first. Oh, nope, now she's a crow because he couldn't quite do it. Oh, and now she's a goat because he couldn't quite do it. And then he's she's a bunch of animals at once because, haha, funny, she's a turtle now, ha. And
you know,
then,
kids like animals. You can imagine it's like, yes, like almost parody of a director or a producer. Ah, kids like the animals, give me more animals. They like the goats, they like the pigs, come on, more animals.
Come
for
on,
the kids,
come on.
You know, it's like, give me a break with this shit.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, when they were turning into pigs, that freaked me out. as a kid. Like that was that might have been what turned me off of ever coming back to this movie, especially.
You mean the boys in Pinocchio getting turned into donkeys? That didn't scare the piss out of you instead?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's just don't do that, Hollywood. Stop morphing people into strange animals. It's not fun.
Coming out this summer, Transformers Beast Wars. So it ties right in.
There we go.
What's funny is there's actually some good parts of this film. Like some of the settings are pretty cool. Like when they find Matt Mardigan in that cage, or whatever, wherever that is, it's great. And you see the armies going past and he's kind of tempting them. That was a cool spot. And you actually felt some real peril for our characters. They had to sleep out there in the night. They're not sure what to do with the baby because they're scared. That's actually good, but that's like 2 minutes. You know, when they get captured and they're off into the snow area, that's pretty cool too. And then they have to do a toboggan scene down the slopes on the snow. It's like, you're killing.
Let's have them go sledding now. Yeah. That was a total different Ron Howard impression than earlier. So I'm just all over Ron Howard.
Ron Howard's best contribution is narration in Arrested Development.
He's done. I mean, Apollo 13 was a great space movie.
Inferno. Just kidding. That was terrible.
Yeah,
I was gonna nicely agree with you, but there was one more thing. It was just a tiny nitpick, but doesn't matter. I'm not gonna sit here thinking about it. Anything else?
It's not worth it.
Exactly.
this movie.
It was the tiniest nitpick, just on the writing. Just like you can't come up with a shorter like nickname for Matt Mardigan. Like what? Like he keeps calling him. I need help, Matt Mardigan. Like if he didn't like say anything, you know,
over and over again.
If he didn't finish it, he wouldn't know he needed help. Like you couldn't have called him Marty or something. I mean, that's
double M.
Yeah, exactly. Double M, help me. that's a very tiny nitpick, but hey, we're nitpicking. So
and the whole cast doesn't feel like they really know what they're doing throughout this film.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels directionless, feels generic, it's dragging. The plot really, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And then, but it all ends up, we end up, they get to this abandoned castle. We mentioned the whatever this hell battle is with two versus 100. I don't know. What, didn't he run out of the castle and then ran back in? And then he's standing there with the opposing army and they just look at him and don't do anything. And then he runs. But I don't know what the hell was happening.
Yeah. Well, also, why does she need to do this crazy spell on this baby? Just throw it in a fire or something.
Just
like
kill the thing if you need to kill it, but you never will. So we're stuck with this problem that you're never going to kill the baby. And it's endlessly being threatened. Yeah. What the hell is this ritual thing? Right.
Yeah.
All it matters is you just murder the thing.
Yeah, that's another thing. They don't explain the lore of anything. Like, they don't explain any of the lore.
Don't forget. You talk about the ritual thing. We could have done that a million times in a little film called Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. But no, we wouldn't see someone's heart get pulled out and catch a flame.
That's true.
So we need a ritual here and there. Was it as good as that? Definitely not.
Okay. Yeah. True. Great point. I take everything back. This is a terrific, terrific film. Go see it in a theater near you. I guess
I felt like they were delaying whatever it was. Like, we have to do they kept saying we have to do the ritual, and then like they would get distracted somehow and do it. Kill the fucking thing.
To kind of bring this home, my main takeaway is kind of how you started, Dave, about it being a nostalgia trap. We got to stop romanticizing the past and like and think it's better than what it is. Like, I get you liked it as a kid, you know, and growing up with it and all that, but like you got to be honest at some point. Like, we don't need remakes. We don't need a show of this now.
Oh gosh,
it's like
I don't know who the show is for.
I think it's tanking, like in review wise anyways. Like, it's getting terrible reviews. Like, it's, you could have just left it and people could have, you know, enjoyed it. And it would have been in the ether somewhere, but I know
at least it's not just for kids. It's bad. It's, instead of being bad for kids, it's bad for at least young adults. So they're trying a different demographic, I guess. But Ben is absolutely right. You have to admit it. And you know, nostalgic plays both ways. And I think The Lion King is a great counterexample. This is one for all ages, for all time. But Willow, yeah. We had fun with it. Yeah. Let's move on and not pretend that this was great.
The real question, would you guys have thought about this if it weren't not for the new TV show to gut this?
Yes, because we wanted to maybe help you guys and maybe be somewhat topical to a new, but I guess now thinking about it, very unpopular and bad TV show. But this one came to me because I tried to show this one to my wife 2 or 3 years ago. And she hated it. And I had to, just what Ben said, I had to come to that moment myself. I hadn't seen it in so long.
How old are you guys? Just so I get an idea of where we are with the
40.
Timeline. 40.
Ben? I'm 33.
Okay.
I'm a younger one. I'm the youngin.
All right. Fellas, do we have a separate score? You guys, do you have more notes? I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you.
No, I was just going to say, how old are you guys? You know,
I'm 46 and Ron's 73. Doesn't look a day over 122.
All right, now may I talk? Jesus Christ!
wait, hold on, guys. Give me a scale. Give me a score 1 to 10. You can give me separate, or you can give me one together if you wish.
Dave, do you have one offhand?
Yeah, I mean, we don't even have to get into the terrible finale. I'm gonna give it a 6.
Wow, that's higher than I expected.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the shitty. You know what, I'm gonna say it's a 5.
it's not
the shittiest movie ever made. We're gutting a sacred cow. A sacred cow to me is a 9 or a 10. And if I tell you that 9 or a 10 is not a 9 or a 10, I'm giving you a reason why. And anything below that, you should be pissed off at me or having to reevaluate your choices.
I would disagree. It doesn't have to be a 9
all
or
your
10.
Choices.
There could be a lot of films that are good, but for example, as Pat Dixon did. He said, you know, Black Panther, is it a 9? It's more of a 6. It doesn't mean it's a bad film. It's just overrated. It's good. Fine. Is it getting your dick hard? No, but it's not shit. That's a difference. So,
yeah.
Ben, what do you have for this?
5.
Yeah. I mean, I'm along the same lines. Like, I can understand getting, again, if they explain the lore, I can understand getting into it a little more, but I'm dragging this out. I'll give it a 6.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fantastic. Ron Barba, come on down. Right, you're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
Here's the thing. All right. Now, first off, being the elder statesman on the panel here.
73 years young.
52. I grew up with Richie Cunningham and Happy Days. And he's a very innocent man, this guy. And then obviously as a director, he's a quiet, kind innocence. Like, and I think he even harkened back to, he was another character. What? Opie or something, or on a show before Happy Days.
Yeah, Andy Griffith show.
Andy Griffith show. This guy is like, he is the history of our film. He really is the history of our culture. And I feel there's a lot of innocence in this man. And I have to agree with a lot of stuff. And the first thing I'm saying, I would hate this film at my age, 52. But I'm not, as you said before, I'm sorry, it was Ben, and I'm sorry, the other gentleman's name?
Dave.
So Dave, as Dave said, like, this is not for our audience. It's for young. It's for the younger audience. So my normal thing would be to hate it. But I was like, well, as a younger person, let me think about what it was like to be a younger person and when they put it out back then. And so I just want to give my impressions. I don't know if you ever played Dungeons and Dragons. This reminded me a lot of the Dungeons and Dragons. A lot of the characters in it were were taken from that game, Dungeons and Dragons, which is, you know, a game I used to play. And, you know, it's basically, this movie was for incels. It's because these people, like, this is what Dungeons and Dragons people were. You know, that's what that life was like. And it meets Gulliver's Travels, which is about all the Lilliputians and all the little people. I really liked the dogs, the wildebeest dogs. I thought they were awesome. The midget tax man, a little more authority with the hair. He looked like Zero Mostel, if you know who that is, from the producers. And he looked like Zero Mostel. I was like, oh my God, what a freaky looking guy. This was like Braveheart for midgets. It's a Wizard of Oz reboot. We represent the lollipop kids. The midgets are really looking cool. Little I haven't people. Seen this many midgets. You guys have seen a lot of films. I can see a lot. And also this genre. I kind of, this genre had passed out for me probably around, let's see, that was, what do you say, 86? So probably around, you know, 88, 89, I stopped watching movies like this. Let's see, Dungeons are cute. So I thought there were a lot of cute jokes for kids and for families. That's what this is probably for. The music was very well produced, you know, very epic kind of music in it. Let's see, the CGI of the brownies was the worst, obviously. That was like, as you guys had said, you know, it's like, yeah, they just didn't even look like they were part of the movie. It looked like it was so obvious green screen, which is
they didn't have a green screen back in 88. Who are you shitting?
Whatever that was, it was not well. That was really bad. And so you can see they were testing and like, oh, that works. Just go with it. And back then, that probably was like, oh, that's so cool how they're so little. But, you know, as you know, today it would never hold up that technology. The weird names goes back to Dungeons and Dragons stuff. You had Bob Morda, Tyr Azlene, Dakini, Mad Mardigan, Finn, Razel, Sorsha, Cher Lindria, like Cinder. I don't know what the hell is that. These names are amazing. And then I said the goat saying Willow was a big thing. Then at one point there were midgets, babies, and brownies. It was like a tribute to the Vertically Challenged. All in one scene there. It had like the brownies were smaller than midgets. I mean, it was America. We can't even say that. I don't know what little people, whatever it is. Corny as hell. All of the jokes were corny. But that's that corny stuff is for that middle America, that kind of the people that are in that innocent world of Richie Cunningham, of Ron Howard. The most annoying character had to be the French. Well, they're both French now, brownies. Rick Pollock was the most annoying of, but between he and
yeah, they were French, weren't they?
French. They had French accents.
Yeah, why are they French?
So absurd. Like, let's make a French accent. But again, it goes
that makes as much sense as Nathan Lane having a New York accent in The Lion King.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's just absurd. That was, again, absurdist, like, this, there's a big part of our society that still wants this stuff. The innocence, the corniness. It's not obviously the people on this.
The man children?
Yeah. Well, that and young families. You know, you don't want your kids to know what the world is. So you keep everything at PG. Everything is major G and PG, which is what, that's, again, Richie Cunningham's, that's his brand, right? Pretty much. Val Kilmer, I mean, this guy is a monster movie star. I don't know if you guys saw the doc on him.
Yes.
Yeah. Brilliant. I love that. Yeah.
It was so good. You know,
my biggest takeaway is that he has more amethyst than American Indian. I'm sorry, not amethyst. He has more turquoise than any American Indian I've ever seen.
That's true. And real quick, how they handled him. That was a great joke. But how they handled him in Top Gun was great, too. But anyway.
Yeah, it was totally cool.
Yeah.
Peck is the N-word for midgets. The way they kept saying Peck.
Well, midgets is the N-word for midgets.
These days, right? But Peck, the way they kept saying Peck, it was like, oh my God, it's terrible to be a Peck. I love the two-headed Hydra, but again, like you said, it was back then. I somehow just transported back then and said, wow, that would have been cool to see then. I mean, it's obviously weird to see today because the technology, I would sped up with that. Let's see, he falls in love with a Brit. So I don't know if you knew, but he married. Val Kilmer married that co-star, that woman that he married.
Joanna Whaley, whatever her name is. Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I think, didn't they mention that in the doc? Because I remember thinking, like, yeah, I must have known it from that.
Oh, okay. And then who knew the bad guy would be one of the most famous health plants in American culture? Do you remember his name, the bad guy? Kale.
Oh God!
See more gems like this at the Broadway Comedy Club.
Let me take some photos out here all week. By the way, tomorrow at the Actors Temple. I actually liked when she turned them into pigs. I thought that was the coolest part with the pigs. I really loved that, turning into pigs. She turned, and then she was the female Obi-Wan Kenobi. And they stole so many different types of movies. And obviously, in the beginning, I think in the story of Moses is, you know, Ramses, they cast out Moses because he's going to kill Ramses. And that's kind of the same. They took that same kind of story there. Mm-hmm. And then when they ambushed the castle, you know, I don't know if you remember, they had to ambush the castle. It's like they've been looking out the whole time and they couldn't see the ambushes all right there. Like
they're under the tarps.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So there's a lot of ridiculous things. But all in all, I have to say that even, and it's 2 hours, which I don't know who it was, David Beckman said, like hour and a half, that's my max too. I was like, oh my God, I got to get through this. But I was able to get through it today. And I was like, you know what? Probably for a lot of people, this is actually a pretty cool film, the way how it moved, you know, but it was still too long. But overall, I think that this was not for me, but I'm saying in the general culture of society, history of movies, I would say I would give this more in that genre. I would give it more of like a 7 or an 8. I thought it was quite good. You know, not something I would ever recommend, but I could see a lot of nerdy incels loving this movie. So that's my take. And now I'll go back to my cigar. Back to you.
Can you imagine how bad that movie theater must smell if they were to do a reissue? It's just deodorant in that audience.
Oh, yeah. Musty. Very musty.
Can I add a quick rebuttal?
Sure.
I think those are all great points, Ron. The one thing I will say.
But.
And I think, yeah, no, it's not to knock anything, but you mentioned something with all the names. What it feels like, okay, so the difference between all the, it's trying to build a world that doesn't really exist, would be what I say. When you watch Game of Thrones, when they mention things, the dialogue is in such a way where it has a detail where you think, oh, there's another story behind this sentence when it mentions some character in some place where they are. In this movie, it feels like they just ran a random generator for a name. That's what it means.
I agree. I completely agree. And so I wanted to say one more thing, which is why I don't like going to movies, which a lot of the public do like going to movies, whether they do even go to movies these days. But did they do it to escape? And I felt like you said, the writing wasn't nearly as detailed as what they do today. The writing in some of these things today is so good. It's attached. It's got all kinds of innuendo or stuff you learn later just the writing is much stronger today. So this would be no question a weak movie, but it's just kind of just sit back and just be like, go ahead, just entertain me with the BS stuff. And I think that's more what it was than a well-written movie. No, I would never say that.
These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com, where you can find yourself a sweet ass shirt, hat, mug, bag, you name it, we're there. And of course, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com if you want to advertise with us. Lastly, make sure you leave us a 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence review on your podcast platform of choice.
But it's got to be 2 or 3. You can't just say I like the show.
No, you need more. Listen, I want a little more. And besides, Dave, we screenshot all of our favorite reviews and post them on social media. Those are my, that's one of my little things I like to do for the fans. If you're going to take time out, I can take time out. Notes. A ginger baby is the prophecy. I'm out already, guys. Nope. Not having it. Not having it. 10 years ago, we could make all the little people jokes we wanted to without any reprieve. So let's keep them down to a dull 100 blockbuster mentality, guys. All right. Thank you. Something more hilarious about a little fella with a skullet and another one with a mullet.
Rhyming. Good job.
Listen, I love rhyming and alliteration. You should know. You listen to the show. By the way, the prodigal baby is a mere 2 years away from being able to dunk on Willow's entire family.
Oh, my God. Oh, he went there. He went there.
If you don't want to hang out at a party with a bunch of little folk, what more could you possibly enjoy in life? Answer, not much. They're having a rip-roaring good time. The wizard's eyebrows are taller than he is.
It's accurate. Very accurate.
Willow's wife's teeth have more gaps than a shopping mall does. One of the escorts is the dude who knocked up Jim Carrey's wife and Me, Myself, and Irene. I think I said that. I'm surprised you guys didn't say this. The Lucas's heavy-handed Star Wars tones can be observed from a galaxy far, far away. Ron, you sniffed it out with the old lady wizard. That's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Willow is obviously Luke Skywalker with trying to master the magic and can't do it until the very end. Val Kilmer is Han Solo. The wizard is the bad wizard. Is she Darth Vader? But it's whatever. They're all horribly watered down Star Wars characters.
Yeah, he even says, trust your instincts, I think, when he's
my God.
About the touch on the finger or whatever.
Yeah, where's Porkins from Star Wars? got a problem here, you know, something like that. Val Kilmer has that Christopher Lambert thing going on. Amazing, though, his career has long surpassed the Highlander, especially when you make two of the worst sequels of all time. That's not too much to ask. Wondering why they chose to call Willow a peck. I've never heard the word peck used that much, except about Peter Piper and his peck of pickled peppers.
Hey,
what's that? The next one.
Nice one.
When little fellas walk all day, it must be very disappointing to learn they've only went 2 miles.
Yeah, that would be a tough one. Keep up, Peck.
Keep up, Peck. If that's on a T-shirt, someone's missing out on a lot of free money. This is a good one. The Lilliputians were a nice touch, and I thought the only people shorter than Willow's crew were Italian guys.
Oh, rough.
These characters are insanely forgettable. Can you tell me any of their names besides Willow and Mad Mortigan? Go ahead.
Morgana, maybe? I don't know.
The kissing bandit who runs on baseball fields? Try again, Dave. Who would have guessed Warwick Davis would be in better shape today than Val Kilmer is?
What a fair question. Well, because he was like an Adonis, right? We mentioned this when we did a Top Gun Maverick review, and I said, you know, these movie stars, it's someone like Val Kilmer, he's like the epitome of a human being when you see him, and it's, you know, death and age and sickness comes for all of us. But yeah, terrible.
It also doesn't help. He does not believe in modern medicine. I believe he's a Christian Science monitor. One of those, I'm butchering what that title is, but does not believe in modern medicine.
I think that's a newspaper, the Christian Scientist.
You're absolutely right. The Christians. What is that? Someone Google me, right? Or Google me close to being right. But he's one of those. He doesn't believe in modern medicine, which is unfortunate. Okay, 45 minutes in, and this is dragging. There is less walking in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. You talking about this show or the...
This whole franchise. Well, you see, everyone's in on the fun tonight. Yeah. The chatty mouse was beyond terrible, and the special effects have been terrible. Surprise, Lucas signed off on this. Yuck. Oh, wait. Ka-ching. He also signed off and made episode 1, Phantom Menace. Ugh.
Wasn't it nice that when Willow finally revealed got the wand right, that we got this frail old woman? It's like, yeah. Oh, fuck, what a disappointment.
I know. I want her to be hot. I know. I was like, oh, no, she, yeah.
She looks like,
you can tell by the voice.
She looks like Kathleen Turner now.
Oh, my God.
The two, like, I don't know, we're like Lilliputians, right? Yeah. That must have been the same template that Lucas cut Jar Jar Binks from. Same exact annoying characters. Ugh.
Yep.
The Hydra looks like something from the Land of the Lost rejected character.
Yeah. Land of Lost, that's a good one. Yeah, the Godzilla movies. Like,
oh, I forgot this. The two, the Lilliputians, are a weak C-3PO and R2-D2 knockoff.
Oh, yeah. We need to tell the story from their perspective. Yeah.
Hiding under in the very end where they're at the castle, hiding under the tarps. That felt like a lot like Return of the Jedi, where the Ewoks pop out and start bashing up the AT-ATs and all the stormtroopers.
Yeah. This is if Ewoks took off their costumes, the movie.
Literally, he was an Ewok.
He was an Ewok. Kevin Costner's Robin Hood has less groan-worthy moments than this film has. By the way, did you know that one of the Hydra decides to be like the Thunder God from Big Trouble in Little China and blow himself up spontaneously combusting? Why?
Why?
Why? I wish the rest of itself would blow itself up, but God damn it, another 30 minutes remain as I press display. I'm glad that same monster decided to impersonate the Rancor from Jedi by eating that one guy off the bridge.
Right?
Same exact beats note for goddamn note.
Yep.
The final battle was as anticlimactic as a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I could care less about the ending, the journey, the story. I said before, the characters are not or just completely unremarkable. You guys couldn't name me anyone else, so I'm proving my point. I can't fathom Willow engaging in any sort of hand-to-hand combat. You saw how clunky he was during the fight choreography. If he would have used magic to take down his enemies, by all means, I'm with you 100%. I didn't care one bit about the villain or the good sorceress. There wasn't a moment where I nodded like, all right, respect. The villains scared nobody. It was just cookie cutter vanilla wafer blah. We've seen a million evil witch movies done better a million different times and a million unlikely hero stories also done better. And I want someone to explain the outcry that Disney Plus had to make a TV show 35 years after the fact. As I said, I'm 46. You can ask 100 people in my age range if they dug Willow. I would be shocked if 15 or more said yes. I would rather try and find a parking spot at a shopping mall during Christmas season than watch this again. 2 out of 10. I hated this film as a kid. I hated this film as a kid. I hated this film now. I will say I'm not the biggest fantasy fan. I hate Neverending Story. I think that is a terrible film that people also love. But overall, I hated this film. I was the last half, two-thirds, I was on my phone damn near the entire time. Just did not capture it. Val Kilmer is the lone bright spot. But again, he's just a washed-out version of a swashbuckler we've seen a million times. Oh, one more recreated scene I forgot to mention. Going down the snowy mountain, I liked it better when they did it in Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom. Yeah. Much more fun. Much more fun. It is just recycled scenes from all the other films, and I have no respect for it. No thank you. 2 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm not wait for this movie to end. Yeah, it's too long. Too long. Yep.
I don't mind long as long as the editing is there. And boy, kids, lack of story and lack of editing is blah. Critics, 5-star reviews. The creaky monster effects are delight, are they? And James Horner's rousing score elevates the story to epic heights. Really?
And I swear to God, by the way, I swear to God, there is a refrain in this movie. It's got to be ripped from something. I don't know if it's ripped from Indiana Jones or ripped from Star Wars. There's like a 5 or 6 note thing, and they play it a lot. I have to. I'm like, I know this. Yeah. You're ripping this from something, John Williams or someone else.
They do that. In Stripes, they use the last music from Animal House, where they're going through the Where Are They Now? Same music in Stripes. Same shit. I would not be surprised. To ensuring that Willow delivers a stirring jolt of old school escapism. Not even out of detention. Pass. If it evaporates from memory with the airness of a bubble bath, at least it leaves a friendly glow and a sense of the magical world lovingly evoked. Well, Calgon, take me away to a film, any film, that's better than this one. Those of us who were children in the 80s will continue to consider it one of the most joyous and charming productions of our life, of our lives, pluralized people.
Watch this episode and you'll change your mind.
a charming, albeit greatly compromised attempt at doing a monumental epic in just 2 hours, the most handsome and technologically accomplished film of the 80s fantasy cycle.
It did almost nothing other than spend a lot of money on forwarding technology for other movies. Thank you, Willow, for that.
Can you guys are fantasy fans, it sounds like. What's the best fantasy film of the 80s?
That is a tough one. Because we mentioned it. The
obvious choice. I mean, are we counting Star Wars fantasy? I mean, sci-fi? Yes. I mean, it's hard. I will say I'm not a fantasy guy. I'm a sci-fi guy.
Right, me too.
Dave is the Lord of the Rings guy.
So you have... Christ, what's Christopher Lambert? Why am I
Highlander?
First Highlander. That was in the 80s, right?
Yeah, it was. We Ronan. Did it on this very podcast. Take a look and listen to that one.
Not a fan. Yeah. I mean, because no. I think Star. I would almost argue that Star Wars is not science fiction. It's actually fantasy.
I'll argue Big Trouble in Little China fantasy and much better.
Yeah.
Big Trouble Little China. I would take that.
It's got magic. It's got all that. There you go.
Actually, Princess Bride. That's probably the best.
That's fantasy.
Fantasy. Yeah. You're really. Oh,
I assume that film. In fact, I did it last year. I gutted it as my gutting.
Well, I was getting glimpses. I was getting glimpses of it in this film, but this Princess Bride is the superior film, and you were wrong for not enjoying it. But you know,
well, you can listen to that episode and see, and just show you where I tell you all how and why you're wrong, critics. One star. It's a repeated cliche that people love. They saw they were kids and they love. That's why people love that film so much. Critics, one star reviews. Wow. Willow borrows shamelessly from sources varied as the Bible.
Totally random.
Right?
Moses Ramses. That's the original story.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but
chosen one, Messiah, you know, that
Moses.
A Midsummer Night's Dream. Jesus.
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz. What? Because of the little people?
Yeah. Even, well, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Many, you know. Lollipop Guild, I guess.
Yeah, well,
and even Star Wars itself, plastering it together in a witless, muddled pastiche. I don't like that person. Pastiche.
No. Yeah. Pastiche. Well, I mean, the Star Wars stuff is understandable because it's from the same writer, but still, yeah. It's like be original, even with your own writing.
I'm still stuck. I'm saying the word pastiche. Yeah. This person, no one uses that in common vernacular. Stop it.
Yeah, it's entirely pretentious.
There isn't a single major character in the film who is engaging. Bingo. It takes forever for the story to get started, and once it does, it holds few surprises.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Willow exchanges.
Kill the baby, please, someone.
Yeah.
What if they killed the baby? I would love this movie.
Tom Hanks big technically falls under fantasy, so that's a good one. So I'm just looking up
Die Hard fantasy.
Back to the Future is a fantasy movie.
Yeah, there you go.
But is it sci-fi too though?
Yeah, I know they
I'd say it's fantasy sci-fi.
Was it Conan the Barbarian from that?
I would say that is.
I know the
secret. Oh, yeah. Conan's fantasy. Conan is way. Yeah. Conan. Oh, great call.
The original come out then? I want to say the 70s. Oh, 82. Okay. There you go.
Crocodile Dundee 2, fantasy.
That's 100% fantasy.
I love Crocodile
Dundee. RIP. Didn't he just die? I think he just died.
Is he? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think he died. I mean, I could be wrong. I didn't see that.
Paul Hogan, yeah.
Willow exchanges the high-tech gleam of the Star Wars universe for the low-tech look of a Tolkien-esque world, but otherwise it's business as usual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he tried to do the same thing and translate it, and it didn't work at all. George Lucas, you're a one-hit wonder. Sorry.
He also did Indiana Jones, guys. Let's give the devil his due.
But I give the credit there to Spielberg and Harrison Ford. So
Lucas had a great idea, and he gave it to Steven Spielberg.
He had a great idea, gave it to Irvin Kershner for Empire.
Empire.
Yep.
Boom.
Had a great idea, and gave it to Spielberg, and then Spielberg makes Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, so whoops, there goes all that good karma.
Yeah, I know.
No, he didn't. No, Spielberg, no, the Lucas forced them to do the alien story, and everyone did it just to make Lucas happy.
By the way, how unexcited are you for part 5? I can't see this in the theater.
I'm excited for Phoebe Waller-Bridge to become the new Indiana Jones.
It's
not going to happen. I'm excited for it. I think they learn from their mistakes. I like James Mangold. He did Logan. I think I trust him. So
good director.
I'm sure I'll get let down, but I'm holding on hope.
Great. An 81-year-old man chasing artifacts around. That's still going to be viable. Sounds like Keith Richards trying to chase some young poon around. Okay. Amazon, yeah, who can't?
Exactly what it's like.
Amazon, 5-star reviews. The storyline isn't unique. I've seen better sword fights in The Highlander, better special effects in sci-fi's Doctor Who.
Then that's not 5 out of 5. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And better acting, in Murder, She Wrote. And I'm pretty sure my music class could write a better score. But just like The Neverending Story, Lucas, Red Sonja, and The Goonies, it holds a special place in my heart. Signed, Angela Lansbury.
Let it go, Angela.
Oh my God,
Lucas! Lucas is a fantasy film. Stop it. Or am I confusing that with something else?
Oh,
with, that's with what's his face with Corey Haim, where he gets beat up all the time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm right. The genius that is Ron Howard, Opie. Who would have ever thought?
That's on the Ron's. Ron's like, I
swear, there's like, I feel like the way you guys do, but there's something, and I normally am that way, but this one's just like, it's a feel good. Certainly not when you really break down stuff. It's really not a good movie, but just to let it go and entertain, and you got your kids there. Yeah, they probably would love it. Kids though, not adult men talking, no way.
Next one. I forgot that Val Kilmer got so fat. He's only 2 years older than a very fit, as of 2021, Tom Cruise.
That's so crazy. Did you see the commercial the other yesterday?
Yes, I did. On the plane.
Out of an airplane.
Jesus.
Guys, wow. Tom Cruise just proves a couple of things, that if you are a perfectionist that strives for the very best, and if you have all this success from making movies for billions of dollars, you too can have access to the finest HGH and blood of runaway Mormons you can get your hands on.
Great one.
That's right.
What do you think?
Yeah, I like that. That was a good one.
And I cannot wait for Mission Impossible 7. See, that is, forget Indy. In Mission 7, that I am there opening day as John Wick 4. And Spider-Verse.
My friend plays the villain opposite Tom Cruise, Isai Morales. He's amazing. You remember
him? Yeah? 7?
From Bad Boys and La Bamba.
I'm so glad I decided to shoehorn a Did You Know I Know Somebody.
I had to drop a name.
Drop the names.
I met him playing tennis in Hollywood. He's an amazing guy. And amazing actor, Bad Boys. Come on.
Ron, this next review has got your name written all over it. Well worth a watch if you haven't seen it in a long time or at all. And as a bonus, no woke stupidity.
So that deserves 5 out of 5. Mm-hmm. I know how to rate films.
Did they watch the series? I'd love to hear the follow-up, the review on the series.
Right, yeah.
Dave, you can just go through these Amazon people and contact them yourself. I don't have time for that shit.
I'll be on that.
Next one. This guy, I love these people. Being the cheapo that I am, and it's, even though it's clearly stated Zone 2 on the packaging, I thought Zone 2 referred to a shipping, but it is a country code. I had to make several changes on my DVD player in order to get it to play. But once those changes were made, it played fine. I know a lot of other people would give this a poor rating because of the Zone 2 problem, but they were really upfront about it and provided what they said they would. Just because I didn't look into it any further is no reason to give it a bad rating. So buyer beware, this is for Zone 2, which is England, etc. It will not play on DVD players in the USA without making changes to your setup. Then it will only play 5 times before it won't work any longer. Sounds like Zone 1 is this guy's ride or die.
Yeah, Ben, we forgot to mention the Zone 2 issue in our critique.
Yeah, I know. How dare us?
The white phone is for loading and unloading passengers only. No, I will not get an abortion, Mike.
Are we ever going to get another movie like that ever again?
What, Airplane?
Yeah.
Unfortunately not. Naked Gun. And that. By the way, do you know they're trying to remake Naked Gun with Liam Neeson? Stop it.
Just stop it.
I've written a movie that I want that takes right off of that. It's a horror movie. But I tried to channel those guys, the Zucker Brothers, and that was
the best.
Well, get it going, man.
The movie's called "I Killed Last Night," about a serial killing comedian.
You're really working your fucking pitch on.
Okay, I'm in.
On Amazon,
Bobby Mortal on Amazon. Pick it up.
Serial killer comedian. I'm down.
Ron, I don't know if they have financial backing, but I wish you the best.
No, yeah,
of luck.
I can't.
We need money, guys.
We can come on the show and rip it to shreds if you want.
Yeah. Guys should do Bobby Mortal and rip it up. That'd be great.
No, thank you. Amazon 1-star reviews. My, this did not age well. I liked it when it first came out, as there were little fantasy tales and movies. This was a beggar's version of the Hobbit, with no coins in the beggar's cup. However, I must say, between now and then, we've had such great fantasy films to grade this on. I watched it all the way through, although I did contemplate making my 1-story house into 3, so when I leaped from the top, I could do more damage. If you watch this in the olden days, let it remain there when the light bulb was created with far, far better memory.
I mean, the first part's right. The whole light bulb thing, I don't get.
Still working on their routines.
Working out jokes on reviews.
I really don't approve of the treatment of the small people in this video. Being a human, oh, we got ourselves a virtue singer, fellas. Get the net.
Yeah.
Being a human, the insensitive comments that Val Kilmer makes toward Willow, the gnome child, are very racist. Please tell me where. And obviously outdated to fit a more white male controlled era. Please stick to quality new age movies for the kids. You won't regret it one bit.
I've got no words.
Yeah.
I do. They are just all wrong for this person.
And all of these were made in the last couple of years, it seems like.
It's funny, you know, a movie like this would be
celebrated, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we got the question in the very beginning about it is way ahead of its time in terms of that. You know, it didn't come across great on screen, but for the cast, I mean, but there's nothing offensive you could take out of this other than saying they're bad actors. Christ.
These are people who go to movies with checklists. And I have no respect for them. Next one. It's an old classic.
No. Oh, that's a one
under star? Under an Amazon one star review. That's what cracked me
Maybe
up.
It was a Zone 2 problem.
Nice callback, Dave. Pointless, boring, drags along, in a nutshell, is interminable. I watched about 45 minutes, and I can't take any more. No plot. Signed, viewer of the Blockbuster Mentality podcast.
Oh, weird.
Agree.
Last one. Looked like it was filmed with a potato. Signed, Martin Score Celery?
Oh. This is cinema.
Because of vegetables.
Zing. Ron Barba. Let me wake you up from your slumber. Did the Blockbuster Mentality guys gut the sacred cow?
Oh, they were fantastic. I don't know what these guys did, but yeah, no, you guys know your stuff very up and down. Real, I mean, you hit it beautifully. Kevin, this is the second time I've been on your show, and the other guests you had was fantastic as well. I mean, you guys know your stuff, and I agree with pretty much everything you've said. It's just, I think that, you know, as you know, when you watch movies, people are such, and are any art, people have such different opinions that there's a huge, this market for these, this show, I would say 100, when you updated the gross, there was 180 million. Like, I could totally see this as being like a really great movie for a lot of people, but not for critics. You know, it's not for critics. Critics are going to destroy it for all the reasons these guys said, and they were right on with it.
I'm curious how much, because we're all too young, I think, for the marketing, except for maybe Ron. Sorry, I love you. But how much of it was from George Lucas, you know, leaning into that?
Yeah, like how hard did they press? This is from George Lucas.
The mind of George Lucas.
Yeah, it's sort of like
Gremlins. The man who brought you Star Wars.
Yeah. I was thinking, because I just rewatched Gremlins just a couple days ago for some god-awful reason, but it's like from Steven Spielberg. And Gremlins is actually a pretty good movie.
Disagree.
Until you get to the point where the Gremlins, where one is wearing lipstick and has pearl earrings, and then we're just off the rails.
We did on the podcast, I guess, Halloween time. Man, that is just... I'll give you one, because it just... How does a gremlin know how to fire a gun, load a syringe, operate a chainsaw without... They're not Terminators. They're not self-aware. They're not self-learning. So explain all this to me. I hate... And then also, they're drinking beer at the bar, but they don't multiply.
Of course not. Yeah.
There is so much wrong with... It just annoyed me. And then the Phoebe Cates soliloquy about her dad falling down, breaking her neck. Oh, okay. That's a real hard right.
Phoebe Cates the greatest.
Yeah.
First 45 minutes are quite good, and then the movie just dies.
Yeah. Why would you have a gremlin in the middle of a shop if you're not going to sell it, guys?
Right.
Great. And I agree. You guys, this is your third time back here. I love watching you guys come on and systematically just completely dissect the film. You guys are tacticians when you do it, and I love it. And you're entertaining as all hell. This is always a blast. So I make sure I get you guys on at least once a year. We have fun, and I'm glad you guys decided to come back and do it again. So
we got to have you on our show again.
I was just going to say, I think I'm due for a repeat visit. Let's set it up. Oh, listen.
Yeah. No, seriously. Yeah, I would need to have you on. And yeah, we appreciate you asking for us to come back on. It's always a good feeling, and we enjoy doing it. It's oddly, you know, we like celebrating movies, but at the same time, it's oddly fun to also tear one apart too. So
I just wish that you guys would pick a film that I love, and then we could really go to loggerheads here.
I know. It seems like we've always agreed on everything we've chosen.
Yeah. Well, we gotta get the
Israel love Ghostbusters, which was hilarious watching you guys attack his you know, a pearl. I'll tell you that it's just, you know, the Queen's crown. That was great watching him just sit there and scrunch up in anger.
Surgically dismantling. Right. Of course, Dan Aykroyd, the worst ever.
Except for Trading Places.
Yes.
Yeah. But everything else, 100%.
Oh, Great Outdoors. How dare you just disparage that classic? Ben Secor, Dave from Blockbuster Mentality. I said it before, I'll say it again. You guys at the tits, I love having you on. Ron Barber, my near and dear friend. You're awesome as well. Check out Bobby Mortal as well. Of course, Gutting the Sacred Cow. We thank you for every week for coming on. Thanks for those 5-star rating, 2 and 3 sentence reviews. And thank you, more importantly, for hanging out with us an hour or so every week. We thoroughly enjoy that you take the time out of your day to do so and tell a friend. Thanks again, everybody. Take care.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.